Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing this morning? I hope you can say you're blessed this morning. And I hope and say that you are. You know, as I've been trying to study for the sermon down through the week, and I've got a lot of stuff here this morning that I want to bring before you, but you understand once I get into it. We've been talking and studying a lot about the Bible and the truth about the Bible and some different things like on Wednesday nights and Sundays and a lot of different things. But what I want to get into today is I want to talk about creation is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the creation that God did in His holy word and what He says right here. That's what I want to talk about. But I've got so much stuff that I want to get into. Don't know whether I'll get it all or not, but you know what? Praise God, we're going to do whatever the Lord allows me to do this morning here. If you would turn to Genesis, we're going to do Genesis 1:1. Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse. Whenever you get to it, please, if you would, stand in honor of God's word and let's read it together. If you would, read it with me this morning, because I believe this is important. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's say it again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come again, Lord, with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise You for Your mercy. I want to praise You for all that You've done, Lord. I thank You for the service here this morning. I thank You for the Holy Spirit that I feel here this morning, Lord. I praise You for that, Lord. I ask You, Father, I thank You for the teaching. I thank You for the testimonies. I thank You for the prayer request. I thank You for everything that's been done here, Lord. For Father, truly, without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, I believe, Lord, that Your hand is upon this place this morning. And Lord, I believe that, Lord, that You want to talk to folks here this morning, Lord. And we will give You the praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen, and amen. If there's a verse in the Bible that says what it means and means what it says, it is Genesis 1:1. It does not open up to more than one interpretation. Can I say that? Yeah. It doesn't open up to more anything else. Whenever you read that right there, that should tell you everything you need to know about how God created this world. Actually, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, as Christians, the thing that most opens us up to criticism is whenever we start talking about creation and how we believe creation was. I believe totally the story of creation. I'm here to tell you this morning. And I'm going to get into it here in a little bit. And I don't believe that there's any doubt in my mind that God created everything that He said that He created. But the trouble is sometimes in a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, and a lot of people try to reconcile the Bible with what the world tries to talk about when it comes down to creation. I'm here to tell you, you cannot marry the two. Don't even try to marry the two of them, because there are people. It has caused harm. Absolutely, it's caused harm to our cause out there of trying to reach a lost and a dying world. And you may say, well, how does creation cause harm when? Because, brother, this is the foundation of the Bible. If you do not believe Genesis, you might as well just throw the rest of it out. This is why it's so important. We see it in our schools, and the teachers in here can tell you, and I'm not here they can tell you. It's taught in our schools as a theory that is truth. It's why the way that it is taught. They teach us that our universe existed, would come into existence some 13.7 to 20 billion years ago. That's what they teach as fact in school sometimes. They teach as fact that the earth was formed about four and a half billion years ago. And the dinosaurs appeared on this earth 247 to 240 billion years, a million years ago. Then they say the first humans come on the earth 5 to 7 million years ago. And that is what is taught as fact a lot of times in schools. It is. It's taught. You see how this varies from the Bible? The Bible tells us that there was a fully formed and functional world that came into existence roughly around 6,000 years ago. That's what the Bible says. I'll get into it more here in a little bit. Sudden appearance of every basic form of life happened whenever God created what He God created. Degeneration of life, and it was the direct cause of sin. That's what caused it. You look around today, we hear of cancer, we hear of sickness, we hear of all these things. It was a direct cause of sin. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that's what started us down this path that we are on here today. There was a mountain covering flood. I'm here to tell you, there was a mountain covering flood, not just regional, but worldwide, that happened close to 4,000 years ago. It happened. I believe it. Science proves it. You may think, I'm going to show you here in a little bit how I believe science proves it. But you know what? The mainstream does not hold up to that. They say that their reality, according to them, according to the world around us, according to magazines, according to school textbooks, according to TV shows, according to museums, according to newspapers. It does not agree with what the creation thing is. Not whatsoever. Don't try to marry them together, because whenever you try to marry creation with evolution, I'm here to tell you this morning, what happens is the Bible's the one that loses. Because they try to take things out of the Bible. The world in this universe, this is what they want to say, is millions and billions of years old. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe in a young earth. I don't believe there's millions and billions of years. I believe in a young earth. That's what I believe in. And Lord willing, I'm going to try to show you how the Bible says it. Is it any wonder that 70% of our kids, when we send them off to secular colleges, that within a year, they come out denouncing that they're everything they've been taught about religion? Is it any wonder? Is the way this thing is, when I believe the Bible teaches differently. We live in a nation that has more churches, more Bible colleges, more programs, more TV, more things about Jesus, more things about the God, more things about the church than any other country in the world. Yet, it seems like, why is it that whenever we cast our seed, it goes onto hard ground? This is the reason right here, because we have gotten to the point where we try to marry things in the Bible with evolution and everything else, and it just does not work. Does not work. You cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. You cannot do that in this world. When we look around at this world, we all know the story of Nicodemus, do we not? We know what he did. He went to Jesus. And over in John 3, God had showed me this week, and I was looking at this, preaching this sermon. In John 3:12, listen to this and bear this out. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The answer is you won't. Absolutely, you won't. You won't believe it. We can't look around and see God's hand all over creation. There is something the matter with us. There is. His hand speaks. Creation speaks of God. We'll never believe spiritual things if we do not look around and see those kind of things. Creation is a thing we cannot compromise on. I'm here to tell you this morning, we cannot compromise on creation. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. God has told us how and when it comes. He has told us how, and He has told us when creation come to being. The Bible tells us, and it absolutely, Genesis was written by Moses. Am I right? They say Genesis, the first five books of the Bible, they say were written by Moses. What did Jesus say about Moses? Listen, and He said unto them, if they hear not Moses, remember when He's talking about if you hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would you believe if one was raised from the dead. God has given us right here in this book how He created and done everything that He has done. Right here. And if you do not believe it, you're not going to believe spiritual things. What did Moses talk about in the first day? He talked about creation. He talked in the first two, in Genesis chapter 1, in the first two chapter, in the first two verse chapters, he talks about creation and on through. Let's dig into it a little deeper now. I believe the earth and everything that is in it was made in six literal 24-hour days. None of this nonsense for a year where one day is 1,000 years. I know what the Bible says over in Peter, but don't take that out of context. That's what people do. It was done in literally 6 24-hour days is how God created us. You think it's impossible? We serve an impossible God. Yes, absolutely. We must not take Scripture out of it. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. If I've heard this in churches, I've heard it probably 100 times. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is... But get this, one day with the Lord. One of these days we're going to be with the Lord. And when we are with the Lord, one day will seem as 1,000 years to us. What it's saying is, what it's trying to say in that verse of Scripture is trying to tell us God has no time limits. He's talking about God's timing in Exodus 20:11. Why did God put this in here for the commandments? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Why did God have to seem that he had to explain that commandment for? Why? No, I'm not going to get into why we should rest on the Sabbath. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you is, though, that means literal days. Literal days. Look at the Strong's Concordance. It says it. It says literal days, 24-hour days is what we're talking about. God created everything. Why did God explain his commandment? Because he knew it was important. Absolutely. If his commandment doesn't mean what it says, if it doesn't mean that, then why should we obey any of the rest of the commandments then? If he's saying that it was done in 24-hour literal days and we don't believe it, why should we believe the rest of his commandments? Can I tell you something? Christians, let's not cheapen God's word. You agree? Let's not cheapen it. Psalms 11:3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we destroy the foundation of what God did, if we destroy that, what can the righteous do? There's nothing we can do. We're going to have a hard time getting this message out. The foundation of the Bible is Genesis. And if we compromise on that, we'll compromise on any other thing. I'm here to tell you this morning. Next, for those who say, well, God could have used the Big Bang. God could have used anything he wanted to use. I can tell you that. But can I ask you why God would have used the Big Bang? Why? God is the creator. He is the creator. First off, who does all the compromising, like I said, whenever you're talking to someone about the Big Bang and they want to try to reconcile it with the Bible, who has to do all the compromising? It's the Bible. I'm not here to compromise this morning. I'm not here to compromise this morning. The Bible's the one that gets modified whenever you go to try to do that kind of stuff with it. I'm not going to do that. When we go to disregarding God's record and what he said, they say, now listen, I'm telling you what scientists say. They say at the time of the Big Bang, he said it was 1 billion degrees. It was 1 billion degrees whenever this happened. That's 250 times hotter than the sun. That's what they say took place. Now let's get a hold of this. Out there in space where nothing's at, that's what happened. 250 times hotter than the sun is what it says. Now, why would God, now listen, this is something that, if you look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, and tells us, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon what? The face of the water. If the Big Bang was that hot, there wouldn't be no water. There wouldn't be any water. Absolutely not. But it said that it was 9 million years later is what scientists say. That's when the earth was created. And the moon is what they say. Tell me why God would have to wait 9 million years to create anything. So no, I do not believe the Big Bang Theory fits right into our little narrative. Not whatsoever, because God didn't use the Big Bang Theory to create the heavens and the earth. Psalms 33:6 says this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." He spoke it into existence. "And in all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." He literally spoke it into existence. It was there. It was out. It was void. It didn't have no form to it. Well, we know what God did. Well, let's talk about those dinosaurs a little bit. You believe in dinosaurs, don't you? I believe in them. They were here. We got fossil records of them. Absolutely, they were here. I want to talk to you a little bit about them. And I'm going to get to you later where I believe the Bible talks about dinosaurs in it. It talks about them, doesn't it, Sean? The Bible talks about dinosaurs, and I believe it does. Listen, for the Christian to believe in millions of years of fossil layers of dinosaurs, what are you going to do with scripture like Genesis 1:31? This is what it says. "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were of the sixth day." Why do I read that for? Because if those dinosaurs lived before mankind did, there's bone records that had cancer, they had all manner of disease, they ate one another, there was all manner of things about dinosaurs that those bone records find. God would not have said that it was very good. There was disease, there was all kind of things in these fossil records. I'm here to tell you, sin come into the world when Adam and Eve sinned, and that's when this stuff started. There have been dinosaurs been found with tumors, with cancer, with arthritis. Yet God's saying that that is very good. How many of you think cancer is good today? I don't see a hand one in here. It's not good. God didn't create this world like that. Man sinned, and that's what happened. And that's what happened to also the creation as well. Romans 8:22. "For we know," now listen to this, "that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now." What's it saying? All of creation moans and groans because of what sin has done. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, all of creation started to groan and moan because of what's going on. Christians who believe in millions of years have to accept animals eating each other. You have to accept disease. You have to accept all kinds of things. That would mean that the fall of man had nothing to do with any of that stuff then. You get what I'm saying? Why would Adam and Eve, why whenever they fell, did God say that because of your sin, and it says it over another scripture over here, Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You know what death means there? It means spiritual, and it also means physical death. That's what it means. Because of one man. There wasn't all those dinosaur bones didn't suffer that beforehand. No way. No way. Romans 5:12, "Whereby one man sin entered into the world." Adam and Eve sinned, and from that time forward, death came into the world. The Bible, I believe, talks about dinosaurs. It's over in Job. We've read it here a while back. Job 40. I'm not going to read it. I don't have it. Job 40, the 40th chapter, the 15th through 24. It talks about an animal, and they try to say it's a hippopotamus. It's got a tail the size of a cedar tree. That's a brontosaurus. That's what it's talking about. Also, the leviathan, the sea monster, is talking about them too. They're in there, folks. People just want to ignore it sometimes, but they are in there. Also, the Bible gives us an exact time frame. An exact time frame. If you want to read it, an exact time frame for when creation happened. It's from Adam to Noah was 1,656 years. There's 292 years from Noah to Abraham. 1,767 years from Abraham to Jesus. And 1,990 years from Jesus until now. Throw in calendar variations and stuff, It's anywhere from 5,700 to 6,000 years to right now, to this date right now. That's what I'm saying. Contrary to what they teach you in science, contrary to what they try to prove the age of this earth is, can I tell you something? It's all assumptions on their part. All assumptions. I don't have time to get into the carbon dating thing today, but it would amaze you. They have 17 different ways that they date things. And I can tell you, for every one that they say is true, there's 10 that will prove creation. What about the carbon dating? All the various methods that they use for rocks. Dr. Russell Humphrey, he has a PhD in physics. He's got more letters in front of his name than I have in my name. But he's Los Alamos out there. He got saved back in 1969. And from that point on, he's been proving creation. I mean, it's just amazing. And he says this. And he said this: for every dating method indicating billions of years of Earth's history, there are 10 methods indicating the Earth is far too young for evolution to ever happen. The thing that an evolutionist will always tell you, give me enough time and this will happen. That's why they have their things that they do with dinosaurs and different layers and things like that. Give them enough time and this will happen. That's why I'm telling you, this is a young Earth. Here's a couple of examples. In Queensland, Australia, back in 1993, while digging a mine shaft, a crew dug down about 69 feet and found a piece of lava, and on the inside of that lava was a piece of wood. What they did, they said, oh yeah, let's carbon date it. See how many millions and thousands of years and billions of years it is back. So they carbon dated it. You know what the wood carbon dated to? 45,000 years. You know what the lava carbon dated to? 45 million years. You see a problem with that? The next time they tell you that carbon dating and all these methods are just right there, they're lying. They're lying. I'll give you another example. Have you ever heard about them drilling down through ice? Down through the ice and getting ice samples, because they say that can tell you how many millions and billions of years it is. Let me give you an example. Back in 1942, have you ever heard of the Lost Squadrons of planes that crashed? They landed in Iceland. They had to crash land on a glacier. So when they crash landed, there was like 8 planes in a thing. They all crash landed. All the pilots and everybody made it off alive. Well, lo and behold, back in 1992, I think, or 93, some people wanted to go find those planes. They knew where they were at, and they said, okay, we'll go find them. Lo and behold, they end up finding them eventually, but they had to use sonar. They were 250 foot under the ice. Don't let nobody tell you that whenever they look at the layers of ice, that it's like they found another one here back in 2018. It's 300 foot under ice. I'm here to tell you, don't listen to what the world tries to shove down your throat and tell you that it is absolutely the truth. Because it's not. It's not. I'm telling you, whenever I got to looking into this past week, this is what I do. I just don't take people's word for it. There's a couple of things out there that I thought, oh, this is very interesting. I went and looked, and it wasn't just exactly the way they said. And I tell you, you do it the same way, because they've hurt creationism more than they've helped it when they do stuff like that. This stuff here I've looked into. Don't fall for these dating methods. Don't fall for them, please. By the way, if you ever go to an air show, and you see an airplane called the Glacier Lady, if you ever went to one, that's this plane. They dug down and took it out piece by piece, and then they reassembled it. It's there. This is for us West Virginia folks. 1944, a 10-year-old boy in Upshur County, West Virginia, was given the task of loading up the coal furnace at his house. So what's he do? He goes down the basement, and there's this kind of big piece of coal, and he puts it on a shovel. He's 10 years old, trying to get it there. Well, he's going, he drops it. It breaks open. You know what's inside of it? A metal bell. A metal bell. They go inside of it and they look. They start dating it. You know what they could figure out? It had to come from the flood. It had to come from the flood. It wasn't. It was right in the piece of coal when it dropped and busted open. There it was. I'm telling you, folks, don't believe what they try to tell you about things. I went out and I checked on this. This boy, they ended up making him take a lie detector test years later, and he passed it because he said it's exactly the way that it happened. I'm here to tell you guys, listen, there's more stuff out there than what we can imagine. They suppress it. See, what they used to try to say, the coal mine up in that mine was 300 million years old. Really? Really? So I guess they had those bells back then? No. Handmade metal bell that they placed back. Some science will tell you, the textbooks tell us, that humans didn't come onto the scene to 5 to 7 million years ago. Then let that sink in for just a little bit. Do you see a problem with their theories? I'm telling you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm telling you, I believe he did it right around 6,000 years ago. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Let's look at Genesis 1:14-19. God said, I want to talk a little bit about the moon. God said, let there be a light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs for the seasons, for the days and the years. Did you notice what he put them in the sky for? He said, let them be signs for what? For the seasons, for the days, and for the years. That's what the sun and the moon were put in there for. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it is so. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars. And God set them in the firmament and the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were what? The fourth day. Do you realize the moon is moving away from the earth 1.5 inches per year, 1.6 inches per year? It's moving away from the earth. How they come to discover it? When they landed on the moon one time, they put instruments up there, and they're able to go off of those instruments. The moon is moving away from the earth, believe me. Scientists will tell you that both the earth and the moon were formed 4.5 billion years ago. Do you see a problem with that? Do you see a problem with any of that? Listen, the biggest thing about the tides, if you go back, I'm just saying, 500 million years, they tell me that the tides would be 1 mile high, the high tide. 1 mile high because of the way the moon has the effect on the tides of it. 1 mile high. Do you know how many feet's in a mile? I had to figure it out. 5,280 feet is in a mile. Do you know what the highest place in West Virginia is? Spruce Knob, 4,863 feet. Do you see a problem? I'm just here to tell you, if you think this stuff out logically, think it out logically. Brothers, I'm here to tell you, this earth is only 6,000 years old. The Bible tells us God made both the sun and the moon, and he said that on the same day, Greg, did you know this, because you studied about, he put the sun just exactly where it needed to be, and he put the moon just exactly far enough away from the earth where it needed to be. Absolutely. You just can't see this stuff. It's just unreal. Also, the biggest argument for a new earth is because of our magnetic field. Do you know what the magnetic field, one of the great things you see about the magnetic field? You see the northern lights from it. Whenever solar storms come in from the sun, the magnetic field is what keeps them, puts them up around the earth, keeps them off of us. If it wasn't there, we'd be bombarded with all the stuff from the sun all the time. If you take a look, they started measuring the magnetic field some 180 years ago. The earth is losing its magnetic field. It's losing it. There's a percentage of it. Every so often, it loses it. We've lost 15% of it right now. We've lost that. Why is that important? Because you go back so far, and if the magnetic field is too much, it's uninhabitable. They take it back and do the percentages. Guess what? It goes back to about 6,000 years. That isn't amazing. That's God. That's why God knows what He's doing. Human beings don't. God knows what He's doing. I'll tell you another thing. What about comets? I know I've got so much stuff, but what about comets? They say a comet will burn out within a period of 10,000 years. The universe is billions of years old. Why do we still have comets running around up there? They should have all been burnt out. Because what you see is them losing their stuff, losing stuff off of them. I'm telling you, brothers, this is amazing to me. Amazing. Why is Jupiter cooling off? The universe is a billion years old. Why isn't Jupiter already cold? Why isn't one of the moons that's around Jupiter has a molten liquid core in it, and it's got a magnetic field? If this universe is billions and millions of years old, why is it still hot? Why are galaxies still spinning? If this billions of years old, the galaxies should be no more than this, but they got pictures of them with big rays out around them. Why hasn't the moon, why hasn't the rings around Saturn, why has it not went off into space? If we're billions of years old, because we're not. Because we're not. God told Noah in Genesis 9:7, be faithful, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. You know what they say? They have proven that the earth population doubles every 150 years. How many years, how much would that make it from the time of the flood till now? 30 different times that the earth has doubled. You times that, it gives you what earth's population, you're close to what it is today. Exactly. Well, if men come on the scene back in, 4 to 5 billion years ago, if that's the case, my goodness, the planet, you probably wouldn't be able to breathe on this planet today. If that's the case, and they took into account everything, they took into account when it talked about disease, when it talks about wars, and everything that we say, it took it into account. I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, I believe that this earth is young. And I'm telling you, I believe it wholeheartedly. Praise God. I'm going to tell you one more thing. Mississippi River. This is astonishing. You know what they say Mississippi River Basin was formed? 100 million years ago is what they say. Do you know how much silt the Mississippi River puts into the Gulf of Mexico each year? 500 million metric tons of silt off the Mississippi River and its tributaries are put into the Gulf of Mexico every year. If that thing's 100 million years old, I don't think we'd have a Gulf of Mexico. Amen? I'm here to tell you, look at things reasonably. I ain't got time to go into the Grand Canyon. I don't have time to go into all that. But there's stuff out there that is absolutely false what they tell you. They find all these massive graveyards of bones and stuff like that. How do you think they got there? There was a massive flood 4,000 years ago. That's exactly how they got there. Coal seams. They say coal seams are made by how much debris is put on top of them. That the higher the debris, the better the coal. There's some places that it was like 20 to 30 foot high to make a coal seam this thin. How do you think that got there? It was God in the flood. Now, I they can call me a quack. They can call me what they want. I don't really care. I really don't. I believe what God says right here. And I believe what God says is that this earth was made 6,000 years ago. Follow the genealogy over in, follow the genealogy that's in Genesis. Follow the genealogy that's all the way down through. And you will see. It gives you a time. I know they don't teach that in schools. I know they don't. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? They think if they teach one as fact, why not put the other one in there as well? Give the kids a choice. But they do not do that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness it called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Oh, by the way, another thing too that they try to tell you, you know, if you look back at a star, it comes back, it's supposed to be so many thousand years away, light years away. You know what they teach you in school? That the speed of light is a constant, don't they? There are professors that prove that it is not a constant. It's not. Sometimes it stops, sometimes it slows down, and one time it was 10 times what it is now. Brothers and sisters, don't believe everything that's shoved your way. Because I'm telling you, I believe God. I'll believe God more than I will this, more than I'll believe this world. Amen. I hope you got something out of it this morning. Praise God. God, I don't want to give a biology lesson. I don't want to do that. But I hope I brought it into the fact that, you know what? This is God's word. And this is what is true. They come and get a song for me.